the buzzer, McCord on its way. Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. There's no timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
B Square, the world's greatest podcast, is back to help people kind of clear their heads a little bit and wrap their hands around the pandemic that we're dealing with. But where were you when you first heard that basically society and life as we know it has changed?
Seth, I'm a little embarrassed. We kind of thought the night before that that's what was going to happen. Sean McDonough, myself, and all of us were in a car, and we're like, man, this isn't going to continue. And Sean, after our game, which was a night game, stopped and talked to a bunch of ADs and got in the van. He's like, I'll be shocked if we play tomorrow. But when it actually happens, that's just totally different. And my initial thought, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I guess we're all supposed to be all knowing, I thought maybe this was all an overreaction. I thought, just play it without fans. Let's let guys go. And why do you have to shut down? Why can't you postpone? I did. That was my initial reaction. And then as you kind of like Harvard and my stepdaughter plays softball, they shut the whole thing down first. And I thought, man, that seems to be an overreaction. And then later on, when it was canceled, Scotty Johnson, who's ran the College World Series for 30 years, said, you know, hey, we were playing golf and we turned our phones off because we're like, let's just, you know, we're in Greensboro, we can't get home, let's just, you know, play golf. And then all of a sudden he gets a ding on his Apple Watch that says the College World Series is canceled, Seth. So we're like, man, what do we do? Like, what is this? You know what I mean? It was like, holy hell, this is a, and I'm not going to lie, both of us, and I don't want to put words in Scott's mouth, why is this in June already? You know what I'm saying? Like, why didn't they postpone? Why they got to cancel?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when that first day when it all basically came unraveling, first of all, life has changed. I mean, life has changed dramatically. I have friends who's lost jobs. I have friends that own businesses in our town that are just trying to stay alive. You're doing great things in your community in terms of having Takeout Thursday. You know, the amount of uncertainty that we live in has changed. I mean, here, this has nothing to do with the NCAA tournament. This has everything to do with just society in general, humanity in general, our community in general, our country, our states that we live in. People are dying every day. I have Maury Hanks, a dear friend for 30, 40 years, was perfectly healthy a week ago. I get a call from Kermit Davis. You know, we might lose him. Last night he was, they turned him over. One last ditch effort, finally got a ventilator for him. And he's doing a little bit better today, but those type of things don't happen every day. To me, that life changed significantly and you know, puts everything, a lot of things in perspective for sure. So, you know, I was getting ready to go into the studio and do our halftimes of the games in Greensboro. And I remember Adam Schefter coming to me and going, I just don't feel like going and doing SportsCenter today. I said, what's the matter? You feeling okay or this and that? He goes, I'm just telling you, we're in the midst of a national pandemic. And it was the first time that, boom, it just hit me between the eyes, you know, that the things I'd been reading that I kind of didn't read and read deep enough were a reality. And when the next 24 hours, obviously, with sport shutting down, but more importantly, you know, business and society as we know it, shutting down, it's been really, really difficult to watch dear friends get sick. And you're worrying about family. You're worrying about my mom who lives in New York City at 93 years old. And you're worrying about who you see, where you touch. If you go to the grocery store, staying away from people. I think it's been dramatic to me.
Yeah, I had to get after my mom. I had to go coach on my mom because they canceled church, but she's 83. She's had chemo. She gets pneumonia and she's gathering with people. I'm like, Mom, what the hell are you doing? I had to go a little coachy on my mom. Yeah, I mean, it's, It's a new world, man. It's a different world. Here's my thing with the carryout stuff, and this is we're all talking about, and people, you know, like I'll be honest, my day hasn't changed. Like my day, I do a radio show, then I come home. I don't watch sports, but that isn't part of my day. That's just, you know, but every day I'll tell you this, I'm calling my mom, telling her, what are you doing? I mean, I talk to her a lot anyway, and every day Lee's calling her mom. You know, you try to kind of figure this out. But the thing with our carryout day is what's going to happen when this is over? This isn't over when, you know, we're allowed to go back outside. I mean, we're not like I'm trying to get people to understand, hey, look, you know, whether carry out or whatever, if you support these places that you like and you love, then you know what? Maybe when this is all over, that business can survive. And selfishly, you can still go to those places, you know, and help those work. I don't know. There's so many elements to this, Seth. It's I'm not even going to pretend to be the most sensitive person or the most knowledgeable person. I just know that one of the things this is a great opportunity for people to reconnect with their families and just stay the hell inside. I mean, or stay around your house, or, you know, and I was so mad. Hey, Seth, I'm like airing my dirty laundry. I was so mad at my mom the other day when she was giggling about, you know, church got canceled, but we all went over to so-and-so's house and we all watched and we all played cards. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? There's a reason church was canceled. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you just gotta, I don't know. I had to go coach on my mom and I don't feel good about it, but it was necessary.
I mean, it was sure the right thing to do.
I know.
You know what I mean? And hey, by the way, you crowned a national champion anyway.
Yeah, we did.
It was a little bit of a fix. Because I had Michigan State. You ended up with Ohio State because junior. But I don't know if Taylor understands this, but Dan had his own – he had his own NCAA tournament. And I helped him talk through some of the rounds and bring some legitimacy to the tournament because there was no legitimacy to the tournament.
It sounds rigged.
If you were it was totally rigged. I mean yes. Because Kamar Baldwin and Butler is in Indianapolis, they advanced, beating people. I mean – juniors like winning every game on buzzer shots. I mean, drawing up plays. Chris Holtman, sit down. I got this. We're under control. So here's the deal I want to give you. In your day, give me your four favorite college basketball players.
My four favorite college basketball
players. When you were a player. Yeah, like when you were growing up. Who were your four favorite players?
When I was growing up, Bill Walton. Bill Walton was Scott May. Mark Aguirre and Teddy Grubbs. Teddy played for, I was a big DePaul. Where I live in Indiana, Seth, we don't deal with Indiana University. We it's a Chicago. In my day, it was Marquette, DePaul, Notre Dame, UCLA playing Notre Dame, San Francisco with John Hegwood and Wallace Bryan and Quentin Daly coming into Notre Dame. It wasn't, you know, good old-fashioned Hoosierdom in Gary, Indiana. But Scott May was the man. I mean, he was the Gazda, baby. So those are probably – but overlying everybody, because I'm Serbian, and I never saw him play enough. I remember watching him play once. Pete Maravich is our guy. Now you can talk about.
It's about time you came around.
Well, I'm just saying, you said I saw growing up. I was in second grade, you know, but he was for young Serbian kids, there's a guy that played at UCLA named Pete Turgovic. Turgovic, myself, Louis Stefanovic, Sasha's dad, all of us, because there's a big Serbian population in Northwest Indiana. I mean, Pete Maravich is the guy. I mean, he is the guy. We all had his videos, did his dribbling. I mean, like, I didn't see Oscar. I didn't see Wilt. I really didn't see Kareem. Kareem's best player I ever saw, in my opinion. He and Michael Jordan are two best players I ever saw. But
all right, that's a good list. I'm going to give you my list. Some of them I didn't see, but my dad.
Now, remember, people, Greenberg's way older than me. So
you're
just
right.
Remember.
I am. There's no doubt about it. So here's the deal. My dad absolutely loved the Big O. I heard more sitting at dinner. I heard more Big O stories. So every one of my guys, you don't even have to say the last name. That's how my four favorite growing up as a kid. All right. My four favorite college players, the Big O. My dad had he had a man crush on the Big O. He would just sit there and go, Big O can do whatever he wants anytime he wants. I remember he must have said that 8,000 times when I was like, you know, Big O wants to get to 15 feet, he got to 15 feet. If Big O wanted to get to the rim, he got to. If he wanted an offensive rebound, he went and got it. So Big O was better than everyone else. So Big O was number one. I mean, I used to hear more Big O stories than anyone. All right, the next one, Magic. Needs no last name. I love the Magic Man. I mean, the joy. I still remember. I just got hired at Pitt. He played in the Dapper Dan in Pittsburgh, tripped over his warmups in the introduction, and just had the greatest smile on his face and was happy as could be. Fell in love with the guy, the Magic Man. Pistol Pete. I had the floppy socks and the floppy hair. I know you can't imagine me with floppy hair. But I had a full head of floppy hair, and I had the gray socks, and that's just the way it is. I mean, and then my last guy, no one even, I mean, knows, but I thought I was him. I was Ernie D.
Oh, yeah.
I was Ernie D. I could come down, wheel and deal, behind the back, through no-look passes, shot it just like him, slung that thing from on top of my head. Now, those were the guys that when I was growing up, all right, we're going to ask Jay Wright this, and we're going to ask Tom Izzo who their guys were. I'm interested to just see, you know, the context, because, you know, we're doing this greatest players in the history of college basketball. The research people need a little work because the research there was no Isaiah Thomas. Come on now, give me a break.
There was no Elgin Baylor. There was no Walt Hagen. There was no Gail Goodrich. Big Dog?
You're right. The Big Dog was a bad man.
How about Alford was a 16 seed and Zion freaking Williamson was like an 8 or 9 seed? Trey Young over the Big Dog? Are you crazy? Trey Young over Kent Benson? Trey Young over Mark Aguirre? Trey Young, my ass.
I agree with you. Absolutely. How about this? Trey Young beat Shamika Hoslaw, and Shamika Hoslaw won 3 national championships, right. All-time leading scorer in the SEC. Give me a break. How about in the tournament, Shaq beat Kareem? Please, enough. That's ridiculous.
Oh, God.
They changed the rules for Kareem. That's ridiculous. How about the Big O lost to Kemba Walker?
We beat Shaq in the NCAA tournament, his last college game, with a kid named Matt Nover, Ricky Rowe from Blue Chips guarding him. Now, Shaq had 36 and made all 12 of his free throws. So don't at me, people. But come on. Over Kareem? Not a chance. See, we
Kemba
can't
Walker
have
beat
things.
Oscar Robertson. Yeah. Walker had a good year. Oscar Robertson changed the game.
Seth, Oscar Robertson could get anywhere he wanted to go.
Thank you. You sound like Ralph Greenberg right now. But Ralph Greenberg would say, you know what a good guard is? A good guard that can get the ball anywhere he wants on the court, anytime he wants it, no matter who's guarding him. You want to be a good guard? You got to get it to the wing to feed post. You know what? Get it to the wing. If you want to get the ball in the middle of the floor so you can reverse it, get it there. Ralph Greenberg knew his hoop. He played for Claire B now. Come on now.
Ralph Greenberg knew his hoop.
He knew his hoop.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. He knew his hoop. So those are your big four. Now, we're going to have to get Jay Wright's big four. Let's welcome him in. All right, we're going to welcome in great Jay Wright. Jay Wright, first question, most important question. What is the most ridiculous thing you've done or your wife has asked you to do in the last 14 days?
Oh, my God. She just asked me to play tennis with her and then just totally kicked my butt and then yelled at me when I competed too hard, but then she just torched me. So I just came in from that. That's just the beginning. We could go on forever, man. We could go on forever.
Let me ask you right now, as a coach, you've never been in this spot, have you, where there's literally nothing you can do. So when there's nothing you can do, what are you doing? Are you Zooming recruits? What are you doing?
It is wild, man. I'll tell you, to be honest with you, we've been on a kind of a run. Last summer, we really sped up our June, July workouts because we knew that I was going away for the World Cup with that World Cup team and that I was going to miss the first 2 weeks of September. So we really worked hard in the summer. And then I went away for 45 days and then came back on September 17th. And the guys had already been practicing for 2 weeks. And so then we got right into it. So I'm telling you, honestly, like, I think our team, and I talked to our guys about this by the end, and our schedule was set up that we didn't have a bye week in the Big East because we played Connecticut and we played Temple in February and January. And I felt like, and we had a young team and we were practicing a lot. I really felt like a lot of us were burnt out by the end, but we were going to bust it out. And so, Dan, honestly, the first week I was pretty good, man. I was enjoying it. I was relaxing, man. And now I'm just starting to get into, I think my staff's getting a little bit like, all right, he's getting over the edge now. He's not leaving anybody alone. I think it's just starting now, like getting the staff with ideas all the time, texting our guys all the time, strength coach. But up until this point, I've actually been pretty good relaxing.
How do you deal with, like, all right, so here's the two issues. Like, how do you deal with, number one, keeping track of your guys academically? And then how do you deal with your guys, basically, because you have some guys that have some decisions to make, dealing with the static of that decision. Do I come back? Do I go put my name in? Do I test the waters? How do you deal with those two things?
Probably the top two priorities for us right now, Seth, especially with me as the head coach. They're the two things that, you know, we all, just like Dan's saying, we all have things. We come in and we have to accomplish each day, and you have priorities. But the two main things for me each day are Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Sadiq Bey, and then we have a great academic staff. I'll go to that next for you, but you know, just staying on top of everybody that way, you know, and then probably third is recruiting. But you know, we got two guys like Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Sadiq who if this was the normal time frame, they would be preparing. Well, hopefully they'd be playing, but if not, they'd be preparing for, you know, the pre-draft process. You know, we put their names in to get evaluated. We've not heard back yet, but you know, you got two young guys that are thinking about their careers, and now this hits. You know, they don't know should they, you know, be in great shape right now. Is this thing going to start up? And you know, they're going to get called in for workouts or. So we're just trying to get them as much information as we can from the NBA. And you know, neither one of them has agents. So, you know, we have to handle that process for them. They have to find places to work out because Villanova is shut down. No one's allowed on campus. That's an issue. And then academically, you know, like you said, like we are really lucky, but you guys as coaches, you know, this was one of our conversations yesterday, the staff, where I think they're starting to get sick of me, where you say, all right, look, we know our guys. It's like your own children. All right. They're all online classes now. You know your guys. It's like you know your children. There's three or four guys that if we come back in end of April and we say, you know what? He's really behind. He got caught behind. Then shame on us because we know who they are. So let's get on them right now. Let everybody get on them. Right now, right? And you know who they are. So live with these dudes and make sure they're signing into their classes every day and they're getting the work done.
That's the stuff people don't understand. Like, people don't understand, like you just said, make sure every day these guys, these certain guys, are taken care of or at least held accountable by the coaching staff. Man, they see you hit jump shots, boss. They see you in a suit on the sideline, but they don't see that stuff. They don't see that at all.
Yo, you guys.
How often do you talk to those guys right now? Like how often do you try to touch base with your guys?
Well, we have a group me text that we use all the time. Just between the assistants aren't on it, just me and the players, and so they know, like, during the year. You know, it's funny you can talk about these things now because we're all out of this. But you know, if I text and they don't hit me back immediately. Well, we don't have that problem, but we used to back in the day. And you know, the thing is, like, yo, dude, you're on the phone all day. I see you on the phone all day. If you're not hitting me back right away, you can't tell me you didn't see it.
Right.
You're on it all the time. So I better be the first response. And, you know, you always get some freshmen on there. You see you know, the seniors, the upper class will hit you back right away and they'll be a little late. And you know, the seniors went and hit them and like, yo, return his message. Cause if I come back the next day at practice and someone didn't return it, you know, then I get on all of them. So we're on that, you know, every day, every other day, just whatever comes up, you know, if I think of something or I see a video or something, I'll hit them. It's just, you know, it's just like being able to have them stop in the office each day.
Let me ask you, when you heard Big East was being canceled, where were you? What went through your mind?
Which one, the Big East or the NCAA?
Both.
It was crazy. You know, the Big East, Seth, it was, and again, you guys know as coaches, like we were so locked in. On Thursday, we were playing DePaul that night. We had a walkthrough at the New York Athletic Club. So we stay at the Ritz right, you know, one block down. So we walk a block down to the New York Athletic Club. You know, you go in the back door, go up the elevator. We have a great walkthrough. Some of our guys who are, you know, redshirting, they have a workout afterwards. We come back, we watch from like, we are dialed in, like ready to go. So it was amazing how it hit, because we really felt like we were playing our best basketball and we were really fired up about the tournament. And then the tournament starts, you know, they played Wednesday night and then you're watching the 12 o'clock game. And so it's on, you know, that feeling, you know, when there's a 12 o'clock game going, you're eating lunch, you're getting ready for your final pregame meal. And then bang, you know, we get the call halftime, it's done. And it was like, it just, you've never experienced that before. You know, I must have said to the guys twice that day, two or three times that day, like, guys, you know, we do everything by the minute, like all coaches do. We have everything down to the minute. And they know days ahead what we're going to do. I said, guys, you know, we always have everything set up for you and organized. I don't have an answer right now. Like, I don't know what we're going to do next. Like, this game's canceled. This tournament's canceled. I don't know if we're going home right now. I don't know if we're staying here tonight. I don't know what. Let me just get with our people, go back to your rooms. I'll get back to you, you know? And then we went right home that night, Thursday. And then when we got off the bus at Villanova, all the media was there waiting for us, you know, and they had the barriers set up where they had to stay back away from us. And, you know, let's say there was like 10 or 20 of them out. I don't know. And as I'm talking to them with the cameras in front of me, one of the reporters hands me his phone and he says, the NCAA, and it says on there, the NCAA tournament's canceled. So I said, hey guys, I gotta stop this. Cause then our guys went into the locker room in our practice facility. I was like, I gotta go talk to our guys. I'll come back out and talk to you. So then I went in and met with the guys and then I came back out and finished with the press conference. But the same thing I said to them was, guys, I just want to give you the info because I just got it. The NCAA tournament's canceled. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Are we going home? Are we staying here? Let me go finish this press conference. I'll get back out. We'll all meet and we'll figure this out together. But you never, as a coach, you're like talking to them about, you're never saying to them, I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, that's what was bizarre.
Coach, how did they respond? How did they react? What was the initial reaction of players?
You know, I look at, you know, we all do, you know, I look at each one of them, you know, to see how each guy reacts as I'm talking to them. And it's really interesting. Sadiq Bey, who was playing the best basketball, he's a real quiet guy. He's a great, real smart guy. Real quiet. He was like visibly shaken. I'd never seen him like that ever. That picture will remain in my mind because he's the coolest, calmest, brightest guy. And I saw him like grimace, shake his head, put his head down, which for him is an incredible reaction, but like couldn't stand still. And, some of the other guys, I just saw like wide eyed, like, you know, can this possibly happen? You know, we only have one senior, a walk on, who I think will be back with us next year as a graduate assistant. So I think he's Tim Saunders. So I think he's thinking, all right, you know, I'm not going to get to do this year, but I'll be back next year. So we didn't really have anybody that knew I'll never get this chance again. You know, that which I really feel for the guys. You guys know, man, like, you know, I coached at Hofstra. You know, when you're at that level and you get that one chance to go, it's like going to a Final Four. It's so big. And then you don't get to do it. That I feel for those guys.
How have they been since? Like, how long do you think that, like, I'm curious because I can only imagine, like, this is what you do, man. This is how you roll. This is what you want to be a part of, particularly at your place where, let's be honest, people think, hey, man, we're going to win national championship. How long does this whole thing take? Is it still going on?
I think they, that's a great question. I each guy is different, you know, like, Sadiq Bey and Jeremiah Robinson Earl were like, you know, crushed like everybody. And then immediately, that was like Thursday, like Monday, like, you know, I want to work out. Where can I work out? I'm like, yo, whatever we're doing, if we would have lost or if we would have not made the NCAA tournament, we would have taken a couple weeks off. Like rest is really big in our program. We really talk about rest, analyze rest. The basic concept being, if you're going to really bust your butt when you're here and be intense and committed, then your rest is really valuable and your rest is really productive. Now, if you're lazy and you're not working hard when you're here, now that rest is a waste of time. But we want you to be maniacally committed when you're here so that when you rest, it's really productive rest. Our strength coach is really big on that. And we talk about it a lot. So you know, the first week I was trying to talk to them about this is good for us, rest. And I think they were okay. And then the next week they were starting to get antsy. You know, I know they were, I was telling them rest, but then they were going to my strength coach on their own and getting work to do. And I know they were finding places to work out on their own. Jeremiah Robinson and all got in a little trouble because he was sneaking into the gym here on his own. I didn't know. But they can check your card. You can get into our workout facility with just your own code, you know, and they can check that. And they gave one of our assistants a call, like, yo, Jeremiah's going in the gym. So we had to shut that down. So I think now they've come around, Dan, where they're all starting to get a little, I think they're all starting to get a little crazy where, okay, all right, we took our rest, but we actually should be playing right now, or we should be working out for next year. Give me something, you know. I got to start doing something.
Jay, like, here's the thing: like, your group is a pretty good group. I don't know if you have any guys in this category, but some of the guys, like you say, your place is closed down, the university's closed down. Some kids are going back to homes where they're going into a tougher situation than they are when they're on campus. Like, you're feeding them, the things you're doing with them are different. Some guys, you know, across America are going back to situations where, you know, maybe single parent family, maybe, you know, that one parent has a couple of children. And now all of a sudden you're adding another person to the mix. And, you know, there's a chance with the way things are right now that, you know, people are being laid off. People are out of work. How do you deal with that? Just making sure that your kids are in good environments, are making good decisions, because this stuff is real.
That's a great point, Seth. And that has nothing to do with basketball development or education or anything. It's got to do with a person's personal well-being. You know, as you know, again, you guys know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we're pretty fortunate. A good number of our guys have really good places to go back to, and we're really fortunate about that. But you got a few guys that, you know, once they leave home, and maybe a lot of people don't know this, but once they leave home, it's actually it's a great financial assistance to their family, because now there's one less big person that has to be taken care of and fed, and there's space, you know, and they come to our places. And, you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox about this, but, you know, when we talk about guys getting paid in college, you know, they get to our places and they're living in luxury compared to where they come from, and they're eating better than anyone in the world eats. You know, they can get fed anytime, and they have masseuse and they have strength coach and they have academic advisors and they have tutors and they have coaches working them out individually, and they have beautiful apartments and they travel on chartered planes and they stay in the Ritz and they, I mean, it's a really nice lifestyle. And now they're going back to places where their family doesn't not have the money to still feed them, you know, because they haven't been doing it for a couple of years. You know, a lot of those guys, as you guys know, you know, in the spring and summer, they don't go home. They stay here, and it's better here. And that's a good thing for everybody. And I think that's an issue that we're going to start getting hit with soon here, where we're going to have to, a few of our guys might have to move them to stay with somebody. But with this quarantine, like, what family can take them in, you know? And if a family's quarantined, like, I know guys on our team would take other guys in, especially local guys. But what if they're quarantined, or what if they don't, the rest of the family's not comfortable with, you know, somebody coming in from the outside that might be bringing the virus? It's something we're going to have to look at here.
It's people just don't realize heavy stuff. All right, I'm going to give you one light one. Four favorite players in college basketball history. Like, this, we're going, doesn't have to be Nova guys. We got to lighten this up. Like, who are your four favorite? Like, when you were growing up, who were your four favorite players?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what's really cool for me here. One of my favorite players, I was 11 years old, was Chris Ford. You remember him at Villanova?
Oh, yeah. Chris Ford was great. Villanova, too.
Because he was like a 6'4", 6'5", guard. And I was like I wasn't that big yet, but I was like a tall, lanky point guard. He was my favorite player in 71 when they went to the championship game against UCLA. I just loved him, man. I just thought it's so cool that he's become such a great friend of mine. And he's such a humble guy. And I always say, with all the great players around, I used to tell Scotty Reynolds and Jalen Brunson and Archer, and I said, yo, he's still my favorite player, man. But I love Pete Maravich. I love Pete Maravich when he was at LSU, man. Every time they'd show his games, man, I thought he was unbelievable. There was a guy in Philadelphia, I don't know, Michael Brooks. Do you remember Michael Brooks?
Oh, Michael Brooks, man.
He was so fundamentally sound. I loved him. And then probably my other favorite growing up, but again, they're all Big Five guys because I grew up here in Philly, but remember Corky Calhoun that played at Penn?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then played in the NBA for the Suns, I think. He was. I don't know if I liked him so much because Penn was really good then, or just had a great name. And when we would play, like, in the playground, so we would just say, like, Corky Calhoun, you know. But they were definitely four of my favorites.
Coach, you're the best, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for doing this, guys. I'm sure you're keeping a lot of people going, man. Thanks for
stay safe,
with
man. All right, we're going to welcome in Coach Tom Izzo, Michigan State. All right, before we get into the serious stuff, what's the craziest thing Loopy's had you do in the last 10 days?
You know what? I've done more cleaning than Carter got liver pills here. I don't know. I'm having a cookout tonight. I'm eating off the floor of my garage because it's cleaner than her dishes. So it's I've done it all here. You know, I got my office, I got my closets. My last thing is my attic. I'm working on my attic today and tomorrow, and then I don't know what I'm going to do.
Coach, before Greenberg kills me for this, on my radio show was you guys against Ohio State playing for the national championship. It was a five-person vote. I voted for Ohio State. Seth had Michigan. One of my producers, you know, it was 2-2, then a guy decided. So Greenberg's been crushing me. But my thing was, all right, if Steven is coaching a team and you have a fake tournament and he gets to win a fake national championship, The hell you're not going to vote for your son in a fake national
I'm going with the son, Danny. I'm going with the son. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, we didn't talk at the end on it, but, you know, that run they made, too, I mean, winning 9 out of 11, they were playing. So it's just been the strangest year in our league, you know. I mean, that we've all had our 2-3 game hiccups. We've all had our, you know, you look at the beginning of the year for us was good. Then the beginning of the year for Ohio State was good. Then the beginning of the year for Michigan was good. Then we each kind of had our drop-offs. Then Penn State was really good in the middle. Then they dropped off a little at the end. Same with Maryland. I mean, it was – but they were all good, and everybody wonders why, because the other team's good too, you know?
Right.
Right. Yeah, but I had analysis for this. I mean, they were going to try to play through Wesson. Xavier Tillman was the best defender in the Big Ten. He was taking Wesson out. Rocket Watts in the left corner off a high ball screen. Cash is going to his right.
Well, let me ask you, was Rocket Watts
the winning shot?
Was it a double bank in like some of those ones? I mean, I'm not sure those were the best shots, but I told him he plays so hard on defense, he can take a couple bad shots. But when he gets to 4 or 5 and he banks, I told him at halftime, I said, I didn't like a couple of those shots. He said, well, Doc, coach, I made them. I said, yeah. And if you don't bank those two in, you're 1 for 7. You know?
Right. Right.
Sometimes those freshmen, they don't understand that.
Tom's even mad on a fictitious win.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good coach. Yeah. So we had Holtman on, you know, and you know, how do you celebrate a fictitious win, right? So he goes into about 10 minutes on how good you guys are. And man, they played great. Yeah. I go, coach, this is just a bullshit tournament. I mean,
you guys are going, they're crazy too. You're like, you guys are as nuts as we are.
Yeah, yeah, I got 3 hours to fill. But hey, I did want to talk about this because I thought, I mean, I know we, you know, Cassius is the story and all that, but my God, did Xavier Tillman get playing, and holy hell, did Rocket Watts come on for you, boss?
Well, you know what? You know, as you know, I mean, Cassius, you know, and I tagged you, but I mean, that thing was, it just was kind of up and down. I mean, he wasn't as good defensively as he was real early in the year before it happened. And then he started turning the ball over, which is not like him, you know, but he started playing better at the end. Xavier probably played the steadiest. Aaron Henry's the other guy, you know, from down the way. I mean, the last 8 games, he was really good. I don't know if he just next year I got to start the end of the year at the beginning, I think, you know, because he's been hit at the end. And he really did play better. And what I had with him, Rock, and Xavier, I might have had the best 3 defenders. And that made a difference in our team because it got our fast break going again. And we were kind of a slow break there for a while. So I agree with you, though. Rocket came on. I mean, he can still throw up some shots that, you know, we're going to have to talk about in the offseason. But he does play so hard defensively, and he made a big difference in some of those games.
Hey, did you think – I don't mean to hijack the conversation, Seth, but did you think you were national champion good?
You know, I don't know, Dan. I do think this. This is the way I looked at it. I said we were playing our best basketball at the end. I think Kansas was the best maybe team, you know. And I say that, and I really like Dayton. I feel bad for guys like Dayton because – you know, I was an advocate of having the selection show. Yeah, it would have helped the Big Ten. But I felt bad for the Lamar Stevens. I felt bad for Rutgers. I felt bad for, I mean, when is Dayton going to be a number one seed again? You know, I that was the only thing I thought. But as far as we go, I do think we're playing our best basketball. We had some guys that have been to a Final Four. We have a staff that's been there. I thought we could make a run, but I thought we were as good as most. But I thought most were as good as us. It was one of those years where so many teams, to me, could have won it. And at least we had some experience. And I thought that would have worked in our favor to try to get there. And then, as you know, once you get there, it's who knows, you know.
Tom, when you heard that the Big Ten, where were you when you heard that, the Big Ten was shutting it down? And then, obviously, the NCAA was shutting it down. Where were you and what? Were you with your team? Were you with your staff? What? How
you know,
did that
it was
transpired.
It was so strange because I got the word the night day before that there'd be no fans.
So I was sitting there that night. It was the night before. It was Wednesday night, you know, right after those games. And I said, I got to come up with something, because we had sent something out that it'd be just your immediate family. And of course, some of those guys, you know, they got aunts and uncles, grandparents. Some of them have girlfriends, you know, they're worried about the dumbest things in the world. But I knew it bothered some guys. So I got up at 7:30. I said, we practice in at 10:30 till 12. And then we were going to leave at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And so I said, I got to have a team meeting. I had a team meeting at 9 o'clock. And I said, look, guys, we played Gonzaga in a scrimmage in front of nobody in Denver at the beginning of the year. And once the ball is tipped, you know, everything's kind of the same. I mean, and then I said, I played in Division II. Mike Garland and I, we always played in front of nobody. So I tried to play, you know, even though it was truthful. And I could see my guys were down. And then we go out and we had one of the best practices. And it's 10 minutes before it's over. And David Thomas, my Dobo, comes down and says, they just sent Michigan, and I think it was Rutgers, out. And then I sent the guys home, and then 3 hours later, I get word that it looks like they're closing it all down. So I get them back so they'd hear it from me, not on Twitter. And that was a tear-jerking 4:30 meeting. You know, I felt bad for all your seniors. I felt bad for seniors everywhere. I mean, I felt bad for Lamar Stevens, who came back to try to get there and then doesn't even get a chance. So, but when I look at it, it was still probably the right thing to do and everything. It just, you don't think of that when you're in that moment. But so that's where I learned. I learned everything Thursday. I was in the gym from 12 till 4, and that's where I got the word of the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament.
What did you say to your guys? I mean, like, what, like in that meeting, what do you say to your guys?
Yeah, I said, I don't know how to tell you this, especially you seniors, but it just canceled the whole thing, and it's not postponed. It's been canceled. And they just stared, you know. It was just, nobody knew what to say, because I don't know if, you know, it was hard for me to wrap my arms around how serious it was, because this is an unprecedented thing. When you're 20, you know, you think you can walk through Iraq and not get hurt. You know, you just kind of look at life that way. And so I, you know, I think the first thing, oh, we can still play. We'll play in front of nobody. And I said, no, it's a little bigger than that. And then I had an individual, I took my seniors in a different room and I talked to them. And then the next day I kind of set up a thing like the NBA where I had a half hour meeting with each player just to kind of a little bit go over the season, but a little bit just to talk about the whole thing. And, but when I had the senior meeting right after my regular meeting, I kept Cassius a little longer, and that was, you've been through so much. That was a hard meeting, to be honest with you. And he handled it. You know, he's unlike me, unlike you two guys too. You know, we're a little up and down with our emotions. He's kind of level headed and even keeled. And I mean, he shed a tear, but he handled it better than I would have if I was a senior.
Where do you sit, Coach? Or what are you hearing? Or what are people, you know, about an extra year for players? Is there any talk about that in basketball? Have we even gotten to that point in offseason?
You know, Danny, I don't think it's gonna. I think it will happen in the other sports. I think they're gonna look at, listen, we all played 31 games, and you know, would I like to see it? I would. I don't know if it affect me any. I think Cash is gonna make his chance. Kyle Arnes has already been here 5 years. You know, he's on Medicaid, so that probably wouldn't have come back. And you know, but I still look at some of those players around the country, and I feel for those guys. I feel for all of them. You know, I taught the Pat that at Penn State, because I think what's going to happen is, you know, a couple years down the road, you know, if Rutgers has a hell of a year and then they have a couple bad years or something, someone's going to say, hey, I haven't made the NCAA tournament in 6 years. So, you know, we should fire these guys here and there. And that's where I guess I worry for the profession. And I didn't really understand why they didn't think the selection thing would have been even funny for you guys. You could have had a lot more fun. At least somebody had been talking about something, you know. But I guess I don't see it happening in basketball or the winter sports. I do see it happening for the spring sports, you know, and it should.
How are you dealing with your team, like academic? dynamically? How are you dealing with like a guy like Xavier Tillman in terms of trying to make decisions that are going to impact, you know, his life?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that in this environment?
Yeah, that's been really difficult. I mean, I called the NBA office right away, you know, because I want to check on Cassius too. But, you know, right now, I mean, last year there were 220 guys put their name in early. This year there'll probably be 500. You know, it's going to be the race. Who gets to the NBA or who gets to the portal first? You know, it's going to be a big race. But I talked to Xavier and then I talked to some people at the NBA office and they're all, you know, everything's getting pushed back. I mean, they use those conference tournaments to really cross-reference with their scouts. And then they use the NCAA tournament a lot, you know, because they want to see how players play under pressure. So I don't know how. They say there's going to be no Chicago, probably. They're not going to be bringing them in. I think they're going to have to push it all back. So that's been hard. And then the agents and everybody jump in there, and who's telling what, you know, the truth. And it's been difficult, I think, especially for the underclassmen. You know, I think there's going to be a slew of kids put their name in, and I don't know if that's going to be good, bad, or indifferent. But we're just going to try to – I'm just going to keep trying to call GMs that I know and try to call the league, different teams in the league, and just get the most educated opinion. But, boy, with no Chicago and no individual workouts, man, guys are – a lot of guys taking a chance and not get drafted. I don't know how that's going to work.
What do you do recruiting? You got Skype? You got, what do you got? Zoom?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that or just, you know, just make calls or text. And but with no visits again, you know, it used to be, Dan, back when you played too, and even up until the last 7-8 years, you know, you were done with most of your 2020-21 recruiting last fall. Now, you know, between all the transferring and kids going early, I mean, people are going to be recruiting into May, June, July for this year's. So not being able to bring them to campus or not being able to go out, that's going to put another monkey wrench in things too. And you know, you see a place like, was it Wichita State that I think 5 or 6 or 7 guys are transferring. And there's some seniors, you know, I don't know how anybody's going to field a team, but it's going to be different. There's so many kids that are in the portal. I don't know if there's enough schools to handle the kids in the portal. So it's going to be you can tell I'm a big fan of that, but I'm not. And I still think these kids are going to get hurt by it because some of them are going to have no place to go.
And that happened this past year. About 150 kids under whose names were in the portal had no place to go. How do you deal with your guys academically? I mean, there's weeks left in the semester. I mean, like, how do you make sure your kids are doing what they need to do? Like, you and I had this conversation. There are kids that maybe don't have internet at their homes. There are kids that are living in situations when they go home that are a lot worse, obviously, than the quality of life that they have on campus. I mean, how are you dealing with all that?
Well, we got half our kids are here. We got 7 kids, I think, that are here. And the reason is for just the reasons you said. Number one, not being in areas where it's really bad. And number two, having internet and having ability to Skype or Zoom or, you know, they're getting tutored that way. You know, everybody's into the classes that they don't have to go to. It seems good, but it's harder to pick things up. And if you're not a great student, it's difficult. So thank God we have some tutors that still stayed back and they're doing it through Skype. And we've got about 3 weeks left of school. And, you know, now there's big debates. Is it going to be pass fail at a lot of these universities? Is it going to be, a combination of things? You know, unprecedented situation is going to be a lot of unprecedented, ways to combat it. And I tell you though, school's hard for a lot of kids. You know, we've had some really good students this year, but we got some kids that are working overtime on Skype, and that's the way it'll be, and trying to get tutored, trying to get through their classes that way, and just do everything online. It's different. Easier for them than us. You know, I can barely get online to say hello to you guys, but those guys are experts at it, and they seem to be doing it. We try to stay in touch. I got each assistant has 4 guys, and we're kind of monitoring that daily along with our academic girl.
Coach, I'm going to tell you what I got to do. I monitored I was the proctor of a Harvard examination the other day because my stepdaughter goes to Harvard. She had to take a test. She said, I need a proctor. I go, let me help you with that, young lady.
No way.
Yes, sir. Highlight of my academic career. Proctor, Harvard examination, econ, baby. That's right.
Well, you know why? The people at Harvard knew you couldn't answer any of those damn questions anyway.
Of course not. Well, no.
Hey, what they knew, Danny, is that your stepdaughter wasn't cheating because where she was getting her info wasn't that right, good.
I told her, look, as smart as I am, don't ask me, lady. Don't ask me. I can't help you. But no, babe, that is a mother, right? I mean, look, I don't want to get into this, but is Michigan, like Harvard is doing a thing where, let's say she has a class at 9 a.m. normally and Coach Izzo is the teacher. Well, you teach the class from your kitchen and everybody joins the class per normal. Do you have any idea? Is that Michigan State? How do these guys stay in class?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it is. I know here at Michigan State, like I said, we're looking at going here, and I think all the schools in this state are looking to go to pass-fail. I mean, there's just some things that are so difficult, and you know, as you know, with the schedule during the season, if you can get behind, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got this that happens, and so it is difficult. I mean, I don't envy these kids. You know, I think that's the perception a lot of people have out there. You know, the old dumb jock. Well, those days ended a long time ago. I mean, it's hard for these kids to go to school, travel like they do, play 9 o'clock games, and then, you know, still get up for their 7 or 8 o'clock exam the next day, you know. And that's one thing I've always said is kids deserve more credit than they get for balancing, you know, both.
All right, here's the most difficult question. Give me your growing up, give me your four favorite college basketball players of all time.
Dan Dockage, guarding Michael Jordan was one of them, but
the history of the NCAA tournament.
I saw where today's the day Magic and Bird played, you know, the championship. Yeah. At first, I was just out of college. It was the first I got to see it. My college coach took me to it. I mean, in Utah, and we had, I got a good seat. You know, it wasn't like it is now, boy. You did that now at the last minute. You'd be up in the nosebleeds and you'd have still paid $1 million. But I, you know, I got a chance to watch the Walton thing, you know, and that game when he went against, I think it was Memphis or whoever, when he was 20 or 21 or 22 or whatever he
21
was.
21 or 22.
That was crazy. Unbelievable. I still, you know, the Magic Bird thing to me was special. Although that game, I'm not sure either one of them played great, but I think those were, you know, two great players. And, you know, I guess I'm looking more at the past than the present because I coach the guys now and you know all their warts. The other guys, you can just see all their strengths. But, I mean, you know, I don't know if you'd put Jordan in there because you know, it wasn't like he averaged a lot of points or did a lot of things back then. But
shoot, he played with every Kenny Smith, Perkins, Worth. I mean, like the guys Jordan played with were ridiculous.
Yeah, they were ridiculous. But what are the common ones that you're hearing?
I go way back. I go Big O. I go Pete Maravich. I go Ernie D. And who was my fourth, Dan?
Oh, I fell asleep.
Yeah. Oh, listen, you fell asleep.
Dan and I weren't alive when some of those guys.
Oh, you stop. You're older than me. Yeah, come on. Hey, I mean, goodness. Bro, listen to these two grumpy old men. I mean, this is unbelievable.
You guys are making me laugh. I haven't laughed in 2 weeks. So nice to be during March and be able to laugh.
When Seth was talking, they were, you know, jump ball after every bucket. I went.
Oh, well, Big O, what do you mean?
Because I'm Serbian, the Berkovich brothers are my heroes. I played with them, but Pete Maravich, Mark Aguirre, Northwest Indiana, man. Like in Northwest Indiana, coach, we weren't all in on Hoosiers. I was all in on Aguirre and Teddy Grubbs and Cummings. Oh, yeah. And, you know, those were Bo Ellis.
Remember when Aguirre walked back from a couple of those games? Remember they always got beat in the tournament? I remember that too, man. That was.
He got
that
beat
was crazy
in Dayton.
Times, but they were good though.
They were number one in the country in Dayton, 1981. Yeah. They get beat in Dayton. He throws the ball in the river and walks back in his uniform to the hotel.
Yeah.
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 Those are the guys.
St. Joe's beat them. No. St. Joe's beat them that game, right?
St. Joe's beat them, yeah.
Brad Greenberg, assistant coach at St. Joe's on that team.
You know, Coach, you're talking about the difference. I got to tell you, man, you went to Utah with your college coach. I would have literally, if Coach Knight said, hey, Dan, I want to take you to Utah, I would have stabbed myself in the heart.
Hey, Danny, that's the division. That's the difference between Big Ten and Division II.
Right. Hey, Danny, once you come to Utah, we'll go to the Final Four. Hey, Coach, how about you drink antifreeze instead? That sounds like more fun.
Hey, Seth wouldn't have survived. On Sunday of that thing, there was no alcohol. No alcohol out in Utah. You should have seen all those coaches on Sunday. Oh, my God, that was tough.
That's funny.
That is as good as it gets. All right, last one. Five favorite Spartans.
Five favorite Spartans of all time?
Yeah. Including Johnny. It's got to be on the list.
Yeah, I'd have to go with a guy named Johnny Green because he was a guy that walked on here and he could take a quarter off the top of the backboard and he played in the league for 15 years. A great guy from New York that comes back all the time still. He was a part of the 57 championship team. You know, Magic has to be one. You know, Cleves has to be one for me because he did, you know, so much for me. You know, he'd have to be in there. You know, Steve Smith, Sean Respert. I mean, I'm just looking at guys that I know that I coach. Scott Skiles, you know, was God, I was a GA during some of those days. That was a hell of a time. He was a little crazy too, but you know, I you know, there's been a lot of good guys. I don't know who the best are. You know, I'm still a big fan of Gregory Kelser. He was a great guy, and I'm sure I'm missing a bundle of them, but it was, you know, it's been a good time for me. I'm sure you guys have more good ones at your colleges, although I don't know how many you had at St. John. Where did you go to college? I know.
Come on, Harvard on the Hackensack. Come on now, Fairleigh Dickinson. Come on. Now, yeah, you,
oh, yeah, hey, Fairleigh Dickinson.
That was a step above your place, believe me. Just a barely Alabama, a my college
Northern
coach.
Michigan. Huh? At least we had football. Mariucci was doing something. Did you even have football there?
No.
Come on.
Really, Harvard on the Hackensack. Come on now. I had Alabama. That's right. I had Alabama.
Harvard on the Hackensack.
Yeah.
Danny, I think you have to Northern Michigan. I had a ahead of that place that Seth's talking about. I mean, we'll give you that Indiana was the best, but I think I'm in second place now that I found out he was.
We're everyone's guarantee game. Hey, as we appreciate you doing this. Now, what's for dinner tonight? Here's the question. What's for dinner?
I'm telling you, I'm cooking out because I'm going to grill out, see if I can do that. I'm just trying to waste time, to be honest with you, and call a few kids and, but you guys made me laugh. I want to tell you, I haven't laughed much lately. I do miss the tournament, don't you guys? It's weird, man. It's just this is still one of the greatest times. Even my football buddies, they all say, "Hey, there's nothing like March Madness," and I think it's true. And you know, let's just hope you guys, make sure your families are safe, keep them healthy, and hopefully in a couple weeks things start turning.
Thanks,
you got it,
boss.
Man. Stay well. Appreciate you, man.
Anybody.
All right, guys. Take care, guys.
Can I tell you one Michigan State story?
Of course, whatever you'd like.
So we beat them, and Coach Knight, we had lost a game before, and he told me and a guy named Chuck Franz that we were going to be the coaches. They didn't come to practice, he and the assistants, for 2 days. We had to make the scouting report and the whole deal, right? Literally, we go there, and we beat them. And in the locker room at old – whatever the place was called,
Jenison.
They had in the locker room and in the bathroom, you had to go down the hall and it was kind of shared with the rec room. Well, anyway, I walk in after the game into the bathroom and the toilet didn't have walls. It was like prison, right? I mean, it's just, the commode is just out there, right? So I walk in And Coach Knight's on the toilet taking a big one. And I was feeling pretty good. And he looks up at me. He goes, "You got your first win tonight, Doc. It's as a head coach." I go, "Man, I cannot talk to you on the crapper. Coach, I'll talk to you anywhere in the world, but I cannot talk to you on the crapper." I was in full. I just turned around. I may have gone and peed outside. I don't know. But I wasn't going to sit there and talk to him. And I hear him say, "Where you going? Where you going?" Like, I am not talking to you. Oh, man.
You don't get that anywhere else. I'm just telling you that much, Taylor.
You got
don't get
it.
That anywhere else.
That's incredible. I did not know where that was going, and I'm pleased it's that safe. The turn it did.
It's safe. Everyone at home, please be safe. Listen to the medical experts. Stay at home. Practice social distancing. And as they say on TV every night, together we'll get through this. How's that?
Yeah, and get a big bottle of wine.
Karen Greenberg's been breaking out the good stuff.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.